Welcome to NC Youth Engage, a podcast from UNC Chapel Hill, Healing School of Global Public Health.
Today, you'll be hearing from two international students who will discuss opportunity youth in North Carolina. I'm Sena Fodro from Ghana, and I'm grateful to be here at Gillings and also to be engaged in global public health work. As a first-year MPH student in global health, I love to take advantage of the many opportunities that teach me more about North Carolina, which I now call home.
And I am Vanessa Acosta, a Ghanaian born in Germany and a first-year MPH student in the Leadership and Practice concentration. And as someone who has moved around a little bit and been in the minority space, I am always delighted and eager to learn about how minority and marginalized populations can thrive. So I am excited to be on this with you, Sena.
Same here. I'm really glad that we get to learn together and we get to share what we've learned.
Yeah.
So Vanessa, let's start off with you telling us a bit about how you first heard about Opportunity Youth.
So truthfully, last week was the very first time I had ever heard about Opportunity Youth. And it was such a new term. I just asked myself, who are they? Is it like a group? Are they youth that have opportunities?
Yes, you know, as the name suggests.
Exactly. You know, I'm like, what is this? But then going into it and researching and finding out who comprise Opportunity Youth, it dawned on me that most of us are in a bubble. We do not have all the language. We do not have all the knowledge. I am happy to learn, definitely. But then knowing about Opportunity Youth just gives you a different perspective of who you meet on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
And learning that these are people that have, I want to say, disengaged. Disengaged from school and all work, and not had their own space to create a kind of passion or future through what they do and what they learn, it dawned on me just how difficult it can be for people to grow as children into adults.
Yes.
That's what this podcast is about, I guess.
Exactly.
And what about that, you?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. I think one of the things that we get to realize is that we, as you mentioned, we're in a bubble here at UNC, here at Gillings. We get the space and really the systems in place that fuel our passions, that give us the space to think beyond boundaries. We get to push boundaries and we get to work hard together as a team to really reach goals that we set for ourselves. But we also realize that some of these things can be difficult for others. And really that's what learning about Opportunity Youth has taught me. And immediately I thought about my communities back in Ghana, which you are also aware of,
right,
who are neither in school nor working, but we didn't necessarily have a language for that.
Right.
But now we know what we could, the term that we could use and really draw attention to why these barriers need to be removed, because we all deserve access to education, access to employment opportunities that will really, really help us develop personally and also professionally.
I like the way you say that, especially because Opportunity Youth, you know, just gives us all a very different, you know, the first thing that comes into your mind is youth that have opportunities. And so it just really shifts our minds from the deficit-based, you know, mindset and thinking to a very asset-based. What do they have? What can they do?
Yes.
How can we just break down the barriers? Just like you said, you know, just break down the barriers and make them able to accept everything that comes in a way as to, you know, burst forth and really grow.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's been very important to change the language from, I think, what it was initially referred to as was disconnected youth, and that really put a lot of responsibility on the youth versus
on the system,
the institutions, and people that are perpetuating, you know, factors that really, really stand in the way of growth. And so I love that the language has changed, and looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here too. So we definitely agree that there are some people within the space, some of you that are listening, that are very familiar with the term opportunity youth. But for some people, this opportunity youth term is really, it's redefined. Mm-hmm. And so that term has been redefined to shift mindsets and create the space for innovative ways to really re-engage young people in society. While for others like us, as we have mentioned, it was really an entirely new term. And this term has given us the language to describe how young people can move and be more involved in local and national development. And so whether you fall into the former or into the latter, or you find yourself somewhere in between, we're just asking you to all join us in this conversation as we attempt to parse through the complexities of opportunity youth in North Carolina.
That's right. So if you are listening to this podcast, you know, chances are you're a student like we are.
Yeah.
You're faculty, you're an employee in the UNC Chapel Hill community, or maybe you work with youth or you're youth. And there are just many people who are not connected to any of these spaces in North Carolina. And as a result, they're left out of the many, many great opportunities for personal and professional growth and also social connection.
Yeah. I really agree with you. You know, there's always a mental model concerning things, concerning public health issues that we have to address. And one of those public mental models is once you're youth, you're either in school or you're working. And so trying to engage, you know, with youth on a day-to-day can be pretty difficult, especially if you're either within public health spaces or not. Because we have to learn to be aware of the community that we engage. But then without knowing and even having particular mental models about the community, such as opportunity that we are supposed to engage, it can be difficult to take the message across.
Exactly.
Instead of being very open and say, we are here because we know you have something. It may shift to, we are here because you need something. While the youth already are in a space where they are brilliant, they can do things for themselves, they can pursue, and they can really, those surrounding opportunity youth is also a big thing. And in addressing those mental models, we would be able to shift, you know, the lens onto opportunity youth in a different way. What do you think about mental models surrounding opportunity youth, though?
I think that could be another podcast. But certainly, I think the first step is really trying to better understand opportunity youth. And as we've mentioned earlier on, the factors that are contributing to the lack of access to these spaces. And making sure that as we talk about these, that we're including practical ways of involving our local governments and also the UNC community in engaging even more.
And I
think, of course, as many other very, very important social issues, the pandemic has had adverse effects on gains in opportunity youth. So I will let you talk a little bit more about those impacts and then we can go on with our conversation.
Sure. We definitely kind of like overlook the impact of COVID-19 on general like health outcomes. COVID-19 had serious, you know, impacts on different diseases, different public health issues. But at present, and even with marginalized groups, we can see the impact being worst in marginalized groups and minority populations. You know, so for opportunity youth in North Carolina in particular, during the pandemic, and we're still in the pandemic, they have experienced like worsened re-engagement rates. And so we see that there was a 6.8% decline in school enrollment, and unemployment rates increased from 8.45 to 24.45% among young people. And this statistic is according to the Economic Policy Institute. And Carolina demography also estimates about 15% more opportunity youth live in poverty compared to non-opportunity youth. So that those vast differences that you can tell.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. And as you've mentioned, you know, most of the marginalization in our society really has been created by people in power and also people in authority who are overlooking many of these minority groups and the specific challenges that they face.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really no different from opportunity youth, mm-hmm. I would say.
Right.
Particularly in North Carolina, we find that 20% of opportunity youth are American Indian,
mm-hmm.
followed by 15% who are Black and 12.5% Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And except for Black youth, women really have lower rates of re-engagement across all races.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stratify even further mm-hmm. by race and gender, we see that Black young people have the largest gender gap of any racial or ethnic group. And I think that will really not be surprising for many.
Mm-hmm.
However, you see these stark differences where 14.8% of Black girls and young women are in this category compared to 20% for Black men. So why do you think this is?
I think we have to go back into history. We have to go back into all the things that have led and perpetuated, like, the structural racism, and all the things that have really, you know, concentrated impact for Black people generally. And so we find that, like, Black men, even young men in North Carolina and even across the whole of the U.S. experience lower engagement rates for a variety of very complex mm-hmm. and interrelated reasons. And we have mentioned, I have mentioned the structural racism and discrimination that Black people and Black youth, by extension, mm-hmm. you know,
yes.
experience in education and employment, you know, the poverty that's within the space, economic inequality, you know, the criminal justice system. There's so many things that contribute to how Black people generally thrive
mm-hmm.
with matters of health. And so it's not surprising that we have those stark differences among Black people and especially Black youth. And so when we talk about structural racism, discrimination, poverty, you know, the criminal justice system, and how sometimes we've realized how it can be very unfair.
Yeah.
All these factors lead to how Black youth, and especially Black men as young people, can be limited in their access to employment and educational opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the main goals that we had with this podcast really mm-hmm. is to provide, you know, these statistics so that we're aware of the numbers,
right.
but also to take a step further,
right.
a step further in brainstorming solutions together, mm-hmm. in realizing where the impact gaps are, mm-hmm. the levers of change.
Right.
And that's where we start to think about how efforts to address these engagement rates,
mm-hmm.
how do we increase engagement rates?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure that Black men in North Carolina are involved in education systems, in spaces of employment,
right.
in ways that really contribute to their growth.
Mm-hmm.
And these strategies really should be aimed at promoting equity and to address the root causes of these disparities. This could look like investing in education, for example, in the workforce development programs, in also addressing systemic racism and discrimination, as
yeah,
we've seen in
sure.
the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
And promoting economic development in communities mm-hmm. that are really most impacted by lower engagement rates. So by working to address these factors, we promote greater opportunity and also increase social mobility for Black men in particular, but also other marginalized groups in North Carolina, as we've discussed before.
Yeah, well, as we wrap up this conversation, Sena and I would like to share a quote from John Velvet. He's the current CEO of Youth Build USA and a former opportunity youth. He was the first incarcerated person to be accepted to law school while in prison. I think we may have to invite him for one of our podcasts in the future.
Yes, John, to teach us some tricks. We also call him John, like we actually know him. So. Yeah.
And John is a first generation Costa Rican who was raised by a single mother in New York City. And this is John's message to all of us. And I quote, "Say yes as much as you can to help others, and you will find meaning and purpose and be free," unquote. This is the message that his father gave him while he was in prison. And that's what motivated him, stirred up his drive to be a teacher in the prison system to help others find themselves as he found himself, and drove him to take his LSAT and mm-hmm. become indeed one of the first people to be accepted to law school while in prison.
Yeah.
When we see how someone's belief mm-hmm. in one person. I think most of the stories that we've listened to over this period while we're trying to prepare for this podcast really directed us in this manner. There were people that rooted for these opportunities that made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in that system that we all desire to create, we have to create an enabling system,
yeah.
A system that listens to the opportunity.
Right.
You know, in John, his father in this case just believed in him and gave him this, and he ran with it. I think this will now be our call to action, to mm-hmm. believe in opportunity youth and all that they can achieve by providing the support that repairs the damage broken systems have created.
I couldn't have said it better. So I hope that you all were listening. Listen to the wise words that Vanessa just shared with us. And we would just like to really, really thank you for tuning in. We also would like to thank Carolina Demography, Measure America, My Future NC, Carolina Cross 100, and the Voice of Opportunity Youth Podcast. This again is NC Youth Engage, a podcast from UNC Gillings about opportunity youth. Thank you all for tuning in.
And we're signing out. Bye.
Bye.